All right, so Steambox is back for our Women in STEAM series. Today we are with Laurel Vale. Laurel, say hi.
Hello.
Hey, Steambox.
Nice to meet you.
Steambox, without looking for endorsements from Starbucks, on three, say what's up. One, two, three.
What's up?
Hey.
Starbucks.
They are seeking endorsements from. Anyway, Laurel, this is Steambox. Steambox, this is my homie Laurel. And Laurel has been making movies. And can you tell us more? Because you can probably do it better than I can.
Sure. I moved to Los Angeles in 2004. And I was liked acting, in high school. I didn't really do anything in college. But when I came out here, I had a friend going to USC for grad school. And so he put me in one of his shorts. And then I worked with one of his fellow students in another short. And then I just kept doing these student shorts. And then I was like, I really like this. And so I decided to stop being such a cynic and started pursuing it for real. So then I got headshots and started taking acting classes because I wasn't really trained. And yeah, just over the course of the next decade, I guess, I got to do various features and a lot of short films, pretty much just independent stuff. I think I have one TV credit for a show that is supposedly reality TV. It's called Operation Repo.
Operation Repo.
Oh, I can't hear you. Sorry.
Operation Repo. Was that the one with the large woman who chases people?
Yes.
Have you seen
this? I think you're thinking South Beach Tow.
Maybe. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's basically the same, where they have writers and they write you a scenario and then you go act it out and pretend it's real.
Why would they call that reality TV?
People saw me on that and thought it was.
Why would they call that reality TV? That doesn't sound like reality at all.
Just unscripted.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I thought you were going to tell me that you were on Flavor of Love with Flavor Flav trying to pick the love of his life.
Nope, sorry.
That would have been really cool. I don't know what his nickname would have been for you, but I'll come up with one later and I'll definitely send it to you.
Yeah.
So I have questions. I don't know if you guys have questions. I want to know how easy it is to make your Hollywood dreams come true. Did you move to L.A. and immediately start making Marvel movies?
Yeah. You know, I'm Thor. So
Thor. Jane Foster.
So I came to L.A. actually to do computer animation, and I ended up doing that. I did sports graphics for 11 years. Are you frozen? Oh, no, you're good. I did sports graphics for 11 years, and it was nice because my bosses were super cool and let me go to auditions and take time off for shoots and things like that. So that worked out for a very long time. And I guess my advice, just not just acting-wise, but anything creative, is that you have to do something towards it every day, no matter what it is, like every day.
Work on it every day.
The tiniest thing. Yeah, like, right now I'm not really pursuing acting because now I'm a filmmaker.
Oh, fancy director, yeah.
But just in terms of if you're, like, for instance, if you're an actor, then you would submit to a project every day. You know, you get on the websites and you go and you see what's available and you submit your headshot and resume and then you wait and wait and then hopefully you get an audition and then you do your homework and you try to nail the audition. Maybe you get a callback. And then if you get a callback, you do the same. And then you just, like, keep, you know, building up and building up. But it's got to be a daily thing that you're always thinking about. An interesting piece of advice I got was, if there's anything else you could do and be happy, do that. Because being an actor is not easy, and it's a lot of rejection. It's mostly rejection. So you have to have a lot of confidence. And I think that applies to life in general. But
so even if you're not
particularly acting, because yeah.
So somebody like Matthew, for instance, even if you're not acting, he wants to be a sound engineer. So so that's the kind of thing that he should be working on every day. That would be your advice.
For
something technical, I'd say work on side projects, even if you're not getting paid, so that you can get a resume together. Because people want experience, and unfortunately, they aren't going to necessarily pay you right away. So once you have a couple things under your belt and you have more people in your network, then when they get a paid gig, they're more likely to hire you. So you can't just like jump into it and expect people to give you a job, because there's 100 million people who will also do that same job for nothing sometimes. So you have to get a reel or a resume or whatever together so that people will take you seriously. And then you can say, no, I'm worth this much. Here's what I can do. You have to prove yourself, especially in a market like Los Angeles, where there's so many people doing so many creative things and really good, talented, hardworking people. So you have to also be really talented, good, and hardworking and good to work with.
So
I think that's something that is not necessarily played up as much as it should be, is that you want to work, like, you want to work with good people, and so do they. So always be kind to people, even if it seems like they're nobody, because they might be somebody someday, but also because that's the right thing to do. Like, just in general in life, is to treat people kindly. So, you know, if there's a PA, which is a short production assistant on a set, and they screw up something, like, maybe don't blow up at them, because they're learning too. And then someday maybe they'll be a director and they'll hire you, because they'll be like, you were really kind to me and you were fun to work with. So when people say the term networking, that's what I think, is that you're making friends. You're not just being like a schmooze, like gross, you know, like you're not using people. You're actually just making relationships.
Right.
Yeah. So for a sound engineer, like, you're going to need those relationships, because you want to have, people are going to work on a lot of different projects and they're going to know people who need a sound engineer. So they're going to be the ones who are going to say, oh, hey, I know this guy. And then they'll refer you, and then you get jobs. And that's basically how you build your career, is that you meet people who also know other people who may... It's Los Angeles is like a weirdly small town when you're, after you've been here a couple of years, and you'll meet people who know people you know, et cetera, because of the nature of the business. And everybody works on a whole bunch of different projects and are meeting new people all the time. So, yeah. So, like, when you first start out, you're going to be poor and miserable. But we all are. So, I mean, just, again, not necessarily just the entertainment industry, but most jobs in general. Your entry-level positions are going to be poorly paid, but if you pay your dues, people will notice and they'll respect that. And, you know... respecting,
I bet,
your coworkers is key, and you'll get respect in return, and hopefully that will pay dividends down the road.
You know, starting Steambox was the same way. I actually worked full-time overnight while I was working full-time in the day just to get Steambox up and running before a dollar even came in. Did anybody have questions?
I did.
Go for it.
So what are you working on now?
Right now, I have a lot of projects I want to write. I just finished a short film a couple months ago, and now it's in festivals, so I kind of have to think about my next project, which I have a lot of ideas outlined, but I need to actually write them. and that's another thing, is like, I'm not playing by my own rules. Like, I need to do something every day to further that, and I need to set some time aside to do the writing. Currently, I am doing a lot of networking, though, so I feel like it's sort of, I'm still doing something every day in the sense of contacting festivals and, you know, making industry connections, so that hopefully down the road, once I have more writing, I'll be able to say, hey, and pitch them these ideas, and maybe they will help me fund it, because funding it myself was miserable.
It wasn't
it's a really hard thing to do.
So
hopefully my next project will be, other people will be involved.
We saw the trailer for... it was what metal girls are into. We didn't see what was in the refrigerator. We don't know what was in the refrigerator.
You gotta watch it.
You're not gonna tell us what was in the refrigerator?
What?
You're not gonna tell us what was in the refrigerator?
Do you want me to spill it?
Yes.
Unless you're gonna send us a copy so that we can watch it, because it's on the festival circuit now, right? So.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, it is a frozen hand.
A frozen hand.
Yeah, I had a really good prosthetic.
I've got follow-up questions, but I feel like they're less relevant. Like, now I want to know about the frozen hand, and I don't think we can do that. Who else had a question? Go for it, Matthew.
Is it true that actors have to memorize every script, like, just by their mind or whatever?
Sort of. Like if you're going into audition, technically they can't make you be off. It's called being off book. But it's always good to look prepared. So you want to memorize all of your sides, which is the little section of script that they give you for an audition. So you memorize that, and you so that you can be fully emotionally involved, and you're not worrying about the lines. But sometimes that isn't feasible because you'll get it the same day. Like that can happen to people.
Yeah.
And so they're usually pretty understanding depending on the time. Once you book a role, though, you should show up to set pretty much memorized for the scenes you know you're shooting that day. You don't have to memorize the entire film, like, before you go in, but you should be, like, very, very comfortable with lines on the day so that you don't slow things down. Because if you don't know your lines, everybody else's job becomes very difficult because it slows down production. You're not going to get as much done. You're going to have to do more takes, and that eats up time, and time is money. So all the people who work to set up the lights and set up the sound and dress the set and make sure that everything is ready for that moment. If you aren't ready, you're an asshole. So it's very important. And, you know, you're going to mess up your lines, and that's totally normal. But you need to be prepared for the scenes that you know you're shooting that day.
But
you also need to be flexible because sometimes they'll change things the last minute.
Does that affect your gigs? Do you get, like, a bad reputation off of stuff like that?
People do, yeah. And if you're a jerk, then people don't want to work with you. So that's another reputation. So that goes back to my be nice to everybody, be respectful, and be hardworking, because then people will want to work with you way more than if you go to an audition and you know the director, but they also know somebody else, and you both do a really good performance, but you're a nice person, they're a jerk, they're gonna pick you because they don't want to work with the jerk.
Right.
So, you know, it does sometimes come down to that if they know you or if you have a reputation.
We were debating earlier which one of us can memorize lines, and we agreed that not many of us can. Yuki's back here. So, Yuki, where you at? Yuki's, she's behind me now. She's the only one who feels confident about memorizing lines. Do you get nervous about this? Have you ever been worried about forgetting lines?
No, I definitely have nightmares about it, but in real life, I'm actually really good at memorizing lines. Like, very good. Like, there's something called cold reading, and sometimes if you go to a workshop, they'll give you something, and you have 15 minutes to memorize it and do the scene. So, and they know it's cold, but I'm actually really good at memorizing. That's just what, my memory is garbage, but I'm very good at, like, memorizing things that I see. So I can memorize, I can memorize lines, and I can memorize numbers. And back in school when I did math, I was really good at memorizing formulas. So I can memorize, like, little chunks of information, even though I can't remember people's faces, names, or like movies I saw 5 minutes ago. Like, my memory is very selective, but that's just the way my brain works.
Anybody else have a question? Go for it.
How long does your project usually take from? Because from what I heard, a movie usually takes, I believe, a year to make and produce.
A year or two.
So how long is it usually for you?
So depending on your budget, it can take anywhere. Like, for my short film, I started, I basically really started doing pre-production back last summer. Then I shot in December, and I didn't finish it until September this year. And that's with me doing all the editing, and then I finished that in June. So because it wasn't something I could work on full-time, obviously it took months and months. And I'm also new to editing, like, narratively, so that was a learning curve, and I think that slowed me down a little bit. But if you're doing a feature film, again, it depends on a budget. If you can pay somebody to work full-time doing all the post-work, then, you know, you could probably get the post done in a couple of months. But most independent projects don't have that kind of money, and it tends to take anywhere from a year to 3 years.
Wow.
And I went to a film festival this last weekend and met some people from Germany who spent 2 years shooting their movie because they had no budget. So they would just go, like, do weekends. Like, every weekend they would go and shoot a scene. They would cast their friends. They would find they would write it based on locations they could get for free. 2 years of that, and then another 2 years doing the editing and doing all the special effects and all the post work. So they managed to make this really incredible feature for very, very like micro budget money because they had the patience to wait it out. So it really, timing wise, pretty much comes down to money.
Cool. Anybody else? I wanted to ask about, which side of the camera, you mentioned you don't like fundraising. I hate fundraising. It's the worst part of my job. Which side of the camera do you prefer?
Now that I've experienced directing, I really, really, really like it. And I think the next thing I do, I want to, like, I would probably do a cameo role, but for my first thing to be in it and also direct it, it felt like a distraction, even though originally the plan was that I'd write something for myself as an actor, because I was sick of waiting for someone to give me a job. I was like, I want to do something on my own. But now that I've done it, I'm like, I really, really like directing, and I really like writing. I don't know if I'm the best writer, but I definitely enjoy it, and I think, I kind of want to find some people to collaborate writing-wise with, and then be a director for a while, because acting is so much, it's so much work, and like I said, it's so much rejection, so you're just waiting for someone to give you a job. With writing, you make, that's your job, you just write, and you just have to make your own time. It's a better sense of control, and I also like the control and the creativity of directing, making those decisions, and then seeing something that's, when it's done, it's like, I did that. Like, I brought this team together, and we made a and I guess that's also the producing role that I did for the short, was that I brought a bunch of people together to make this project. So, yeah, I mean, they're both extremely enjoyable to do, but I think for now I kind of want to shift my focus to directing and writing.
Okay.
Also, I can have his hair.
Right. Did they make you do a lot of weird stuff with hair and other stuff, or is that like?
As an actor, you have to look at the same as your headshot. So anytime you change your look, you have to get new headshots, which is expensive. Plus, it limits, like, I'm not going to get young mom with half my head shaved. Like, I'm just not. Unless it's a very specific character role for, like, a punk rock mom or something. But when I had a regular pixie cut, I could definitely go to a commercial, audition as young mom. But this limits me. But I really like it, so.
So, what Metal Girls are into, that's your baby, right? How does that compare to you? To some of the other titles that you've been in, is it because it's your baby? Is it your favorite, or is it just as good as anything else you've worked on?
Oh, I've had such wonderful experiences on set. I'd say that it's certainly up there. It was incredibly. It was the most difficult because I was doing everything, like not everything, but I was doing a lot. So it was the most difficult, but the most rewarding in that way. But I've definitely had really, really excellent shoots as an actor. I was in a gay ballroom dance movie, which is amazing. I had to learn how to dance, and there was a whole musical number, and I got to go to Illinois for a month to shoot it, and so it was very cool. I met a lot of great people, made a lot of long-term friends. So
that was leading
ladies. There's always something to like. I've never had a terrible, terrible experience. I've heard terrible stories. I've had like kind of bad experiences, but nothing terrible. Yeah. So I've been like lucky.
You haven't run into Weinstein, right? Is that
no? No, no. Like I am not at that level.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. No joke. So. I think, unless anybody has any other questions, I was warning them that we had to get you right back to work. Is there anything else? Did you have any final thoughts? Anything else that you wanted to share? You are on our Women in STEAM podcast, which is doing exceptionally well. I don't know why people listen to us, but they do. Do you have any?
Starbucks.
And Starbucks is going to give us endorsement soon.
Free coffee, bro.
Free coffee.
Well, speaking of, I mean, to speak to the STEAM aspect of it, yep. I'd say that being adept at technical things such as like web design and graphic design and things like that. If you want to get into like a super creative, very competitive profession like the entertainment industry is, having those kind of technical jobs that you can do freelance is incredibly helpful, because having the flexibility to take time off is key. Because if you have a regular, like, 9-to-5 job, it's very difficult to be an actor unless you have a job that is understanding of it. So so I'd say, yeah, foster your sort of technical job skills, because they'll be really helpful. You can do both. You don't have to do one or the other.
That's Matthew. Next time you're working on a movie, he's going to do your sound. Just let us know what's up.
That would be great, because sound is super duper important, and people play it down, but it's like, no. That is something that you have to spend money
on. He's entry level cheap, right? Like, we can work out something good for you.
Yeah.
Laurel, thank you so much. No, I really appreciate it.
Seriously though, being a sound engineer is incredibly good to be. Like, that is a job that you will always have work.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I need to see. Sorry, I lost my video for a second. Let me find it. Oh, there you are. I need to see this movie. So I think we want to watch it together. So please let us know how and when we can do that.
Yeah, because I have it out to a lot of festivals, and I'm just waiting for responses. So if there's something that's going to be near you, but if it's not going to be anytime soon, then I can probably send you a private link. You just can't share it.
Yay! Come to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Come to Rhode Island. Nice. Screen it here. We'll get it all screened for you. I actually have. We visited. I don't know who was with me. I know Yuki and Dariana were. We visited with my friend who's a director locally in a two cities over, and he's got this little studio, and he's always looking to collaborate and do screenings and do stuff like that. That's probably small scale for you, but whenever...
I don't know. I would totally do, like, if you had, like, a place to do, like, a little private screening, I'm, like, totally fine with that.
Yeah, but we got to get you to fly out here.
if you want to pay for it. Because guess what also costs money? Making a film, I'm in lots
I will.
Of debt.
I will pay for the popcorn. I will pay for the popcorn, so there's a deal. Congratulations. Thank you so much, Laurel. I will have this up. I will send you a link to this. I really appreciate it. Everybody say goodbye to Laurel.
Bye, Laurel.
Bye, you guys.
All right, bye. Thank you so much.